The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later you may eat and drink.' Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
in the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Amen. Please be seated. It's my great pleasure to be back with you today. As you heard, I am the Canon Meg Wagner. I am the Canon to the Ordinary for the Bishop, which, if you've not heard that term before, don't be surprised. Lots of folks haven't. I had to explain a lot to my ELCA colleagues when we installed their new bishop what a canon to the ordinary was. But it's a fancy word for assistant to the bishop. And I was excited to have these readings today because I get to talk about one of my favorite quotes about faith. This saying comes actually from an Iowa-born Quaker, born at the beginning of the 1900s, named Elton Trueblood. Elton said, "Faith is not belief without proof, but trust without reservation." That's always made a lot of sense to me. Faith is not belief without proof, but trust without reservation. Because I think we have plenty of good proof of God's wonders and works in the world. We have clouds of witnesses that have come before us. We have books of scripture. And we have small miracles in evidence every day. But trust without reservation is a lot more challenging. Increase our faith, the apostles begged. Are there anyone among us who hasn't had that wish at one time or another? Lately, I know it seems I can't get through a news cycle without feeling like I need a supersized dose of faith. Lord, increase my faith. But what I really mean by that is increase my trust that we, the collective we with God's help, will come out of these times and find some healing and repair on the other side. It isn't that I lack in belief. I struggle to trust without reservation. And what triggered the request to increase the apostles' faith in this gospel reading is that Jesus has just told them to forgive and as often as an offender repents, even if it's 7 times in one day. So they're supposed to be endlessly forgiving whoever sins against them, even if they just keep on doing it. Crazy talk that must have sounded like. And they don't really think they have what it takes to do that. They feel like they're going to need some help, some power to help them be more understanding, to help them forgive whatever harm someone does to them. And so they beg, increase our faith, thinking if they just need some more and they'll be fine, then they can do it. But Jesus is clear that faithfulness is not about size or quantity. If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, and you know, you all know how small a mustard seed is, right? If you just had that little bitty amount of faith, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. He's trying to remind them that they already have all that they need, even if it feels too small, to do what Jesus is asking them to do. Faith is not belief without proof, but trust without reservation. It's not about how much or how strongly we believe in God or even Jesus or in some set of theological statements or creeds. It's a matter of trust, about opening ourselves up and responding to God's invitation and trusting that with God's help, as we repeat in our baptismal promises, we'll have all that we need. That with God's help, the world that God dreams of will become a reality. And so in this parable today, Jesus says their mustard-sized faith could move a mulberry tree. And his followers would have known that a mulberry tree has a really extensive root system. It's deeply entrenched into the ground. They would have known that moving a mulberry tree is no small job, and planting it in the sea sounds crazy. Sounds impossible. But faith, trust, makes the impossible possible. A seemingly intractable solution with no hope can be changed into new possibilities. Theologian John Shea writes that the oppression of the weak and the spiral of violence that we heard about in that first Old Testament reading, it's the ever-present underside of human history. And just as the roots of the mulberry tree are deep in the earth, the roots of that way of human behavior are deep in both the human psyche and the social structures. And we see those deep and tangled roots plainly all around us in these days. As we're trampling on the rights and protections that we thought we could count on in this country to protect the vulnerable and welcome those coming to our country. We see it in the perversion of Christianity that is white Christian nationalism that has deep and tangled roots in this country. And that all seems too big for any of us. But Jesus is inviting them to see that what appears to be immovable is not. Oppression and violence, injustice and cruelty and inequity, even death itself, is not a fixed state. Can they trust that promise without reservation? Can we? Jesus goes on with another example to help them understand what they should expect as a person of faith, although given our country's history with chattel slavery and the white Christian nationalism that justified it and propped it up, it's a much harder one for us to read with our contemporary ears. But he uses what they understood about the role of slaves in their time and in their context to make his point. If they only had one slave and that slave came in from doing their work in the fields, he'd also be expected to do the chores in the house before he was allowed to eat, that the work wasn't done. And they're to do the same, to do what God asks of them, even if it seems like too much, too big a job, or an impossible one. without expecting thanks or reward for their service. And maybe that sounds pretty harsh, but I think what Jesus was doing was encouraging them that it won't take some extraordinary faith or effort that's beyond their reach. They don't need more. They just need to trust that they have what they need to do the work that God has called them to do, and they just need to get about the business of doing it. To be about feeding people and healing people and forgiving people and bringing all people to a place of abundant and fruitful life. What we need is here, Jesus assures them. We have the tools and the resources and things that are more than we can ask or imagine, but we have to trust. Our faith, even if we perceive it as small, can uproot those systems. I'm really grateful that the lectionary writers paired this with the reading that we got from Timothy, because we know that that work of trusting isn't easy or without consequences here on earth. And our lectionary gives us this letter. Scholars debate about who wrote it. Maybe it is Paul, maybe not. But we can still clearly read it as a letter from a younger believer from an older spiritual leader who's been imprisoned yet again for faithful living that threatens the people in power. And the letter encourages Timothy to carry on in the face of trials and reminds Timothy about his ancestors in the faith, the women who raised him. Did you catch that? His mother, his grandmother. To remember them and their faith, the women that had planted that faith and taught him and who invested in him and whose faith enabled his own. And when I struggle with feeling like I have too little faith, too little trust in God's purposes, I look to some of the women in my family, actually. My great aunt, my grandmother, my mother, three women who, actually really small in stature, to me loomed really large and got stronger and more confident in their faith as they got older. Who are those ancestors for you? Who do you look to and lean on when your faith feels small? The ones you look to trust when that seems hard to come by. Maybe you are those people for the younger people in your life, for the younger people here at Trinity. As I was also blessed to have those ancestors in an older generation of the church that I grew up in. As my grandparents didn't live super close, neither did my great aunt, but I had a whole community of elders who took my questions of faith seriously and made time to talk about them with me, who never seemed to mind my noisiness or restlessness in services or my impatience when it seemed like my mom seriously had to talk to everybody before she left. But maybe you're some of those ancestors for the people in your life. It's part of how we claim our own power in faith, by finding that thread in those who went before us and those who will come after us. It's how we find our place in the whole story of God, breaking out of the small confines of our own fear or insecurity about what's going on in our world, or our worries that our faith, our trust might not be enough, that we might not be enough for this moment in history. All of those people were really important in helping me live into trusting what I already believed, that with God's help, we have all that we need to work toward God's ultimate vision of collective liberation and flourishing for this world. And with God's help, I know you have all you need here at Trinity Cathedral to be agents of God's forgiveness and salvation and healing and reconciliation and hope in the midst of our very deeply troubled country and world. And I know and trust that God is already moving in the heart of the person who will be called to be your next dean, who will walk with you and work with you. and trust with you. May we all trust in those things without reservation. Amen. I invite you to rise as you're able as we affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in